You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built.
And Corey, Max Pacioretty, the news this week, obviously probably not what they were looking for. What was the initial reaction, do you think, by the team and management when they hear that they're pretty good offseason acquisition will most likely not be there until just prior to the Olympics, prior to the playoffs?
You know, I got to start by commending you on the brass bonanza. My first NHL game was in the mall in Hartford, so I always appreciate hearing brass bonanza.
You know what's crazy? My first NHL game I ever played in was in the mall. And I try to tell my kids, they're like, what, you played in a mall? And I'm like, yeah, that's where it was. But I don't really remember much about it, but I'm glad someone else had their first in that great facility.
Yeah. I remember it was against the Capitals, and Dale Hunter was with the Capitals at that time. So, Max Pacioretty, obviously, that's a blow. I mean, I don't know that they were, you know, there was a lot made of the Hurricanes trying to go out and get a goal scorer this offseason, and maybe that was a little overblown, but then when Pacioretty kind of fell into their lap and they realized they could make it work, it made sense. And now that he's gone, I don't think they're panicking. You know, obviously they lost a little bit of firepower with Nino Niederreiter going to Nashville and Trocheck going to the Rangers, but they got a lot of belief in the guys they have. They think, you know, yes, Perry Kotkaniemi is going to take a step. Seth Jarvis, I think, is going to certainly take another step forward. And they expect more out of a lot of other guys, too. Martin Natchez certainly should have a better year than his down year last year. So I don't think they're worrying too much about it. Obviously, not the best news in the world, but it doesn't hurt to get a 30-goal scorer back. You know, they're predicting in February. It doesn't hurt to get him back right before the trade deadline. You can figure out where you're at, and if he's ready to go, then you've just added some instant offense to your lineup. So, you know, not good news, but I don't think devastating news either.
When you look at Jesperi Kotkaniemi and you're looking forward to a step forward for him, what does that look like next year?
Well, he's going to take Trocheck's spot. He's going to be the number two center to start the season. And, I mean, I think it's hard to assess how he played last year, you know, based on who he played with. It's not like he played with a lot of ultra-talented guys on the fourth line. You know, there was a lot of Jordan Martinuk, and that's not a knock on Jordan Martinuk or anyone else who plays down there, but there's a difference to playing with Jordan Martinuk and then potentially playing with, you know, Andrei Svechnikov or Seth Jarvis or Teuvo Teravainen or any of the wings that they have, or, you know, once he's healthy, Max Pacioretty. So, you know, he's not a goal scorer per se. I don't think he's going to shoot the puck a whole ton, but he wins battles in the corners. He's got good vision. They think he can produce that way and pass the puck well and create for other guys. So, obviously, it's a big year for him. You know, last year, I think you give him a pass. They tried him out at the wing to start the year because they were so deep at center. You know, who was he going to bump out when you had, you know, Aho, Trocheck, and then Jordan Staal down the middle? There was really nowhere for him to go at center. They tried him at the wing, and it just didn't work out. He's one of those guys who kind of needs to play in the middle, and now the opportunity's there. So we'll see. Obviously, tons of talent there. I don't think anyone doubts that the guy's got loads of talent. It just has to translate.
Talking all things Carolina Hurricanes hockey with Corey Lavalette from North State Journal. Corey, in the last couple of years, definitely anyone who's left this team has gotten as much attention as Ethan Bear, who was traded for Warren Fogle. So where are things at with Ethan Bear? I saw he's re-signed, and where does he fit, and how does he kind of play out? Look forward to this next year.
It's kind of weird what's happened on their defense. They went last year from, you know, once Bear, you know, Bear had COVID, and you know, early in the season, he'd started the year paired up with Jacob Slavin, which I don't know if there's a better spot to land in the whole NHL than playing alongside Jacob, yeah, who's, you know, going to solve a lot of your problems. If you're either a guy learning to play the game or a guy who has an offensive tilt, Jacob Slavin's there to correct a lot of your mistakes. But then he got COVID and got, you know, it was early on in the season back when, you know, guys got stuck in hotel rooms for 10 days, and he got left out on the West Coast. And he came back and just wasn't the same. Tony D'Angelo had kind of grabbed that spot, and he really, you know, had to get back into game shape, and then he wasn't playing with, you know, like I said, with Kotkaniemi. Kotkaniemi wasn't playing with skilled players. Well, all of a sudden, Ethan Bear goes from playing with Jacob Slavin to now he's playing, you know, with Ian Cole or Brendan Smith, you know, on the third pair, and it's not the same. You know, Brad Brindamore mentioned in the exit interviews that we did with him that, you know, they said Ethan Bear maybe needs to, you know, come to camp in shape. I don't know if that was an insinuation that maybe he wasn't in the greatest of shape. I know that, you know, Ethan said that he felt like he never really got his lungs back after COVID. And some have taken that as to say he's had long COVID. That's never been said officially on any sense. And with Rod kind of saying, you know, oh, we need him in better shape, I don't know if it's more of a, he just had the really bad circumstances of you start the season, you get into shape, you start really well, you get COVID, and all of a sudden you're out of shape. You've been, you know, with a bunch of dumbbells in a bedroom for, or in a hotel room for 10 days. You come back and try to play. When he finally started to get a little bit back, he got hurt. And so all of a sudden now, you know, never really got into any flow last season. So it'll be curious to see, because they've gone from a whole bunch of, you know, too many left-handed defensemen to now they've got too many right-handed guys. You know, obviously, you know, Brent Burns comes in. He's going to, you know, I don't think Ethan Bear is going to bump him off of a pair with Jacob Slavin. You know, Brett Pesce is obviously locked in the top four. And then Dylan Coughlin comes over in that Pacioretty trade. They love Jalen Chatfield. And I know that, you know, the Vancouver people are really familiar with him. I don't know how familiar people in Edmonton are, but they love the way he plays for their system. Now, that doesn't mean he's a top four guy, but all of a sudden you got all these right-handed guys there on the third pair. And then there's the questions around Jake Gardner too. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that shakes out and where Ethan ends up here. Another guy who obviously more pressing than Jesperi Kotkaniemi, who's got his contract and is going to get paid, but another guy who's got a big year ahead of him. I mean, he's if he can't make it work this year, you know, all of a sudden your career is kind of in question. Where do you go from here if you can't, you know, be a third pairing defenseman?
You know, you touched on Brent Burns, but, you know, I keep thinking about that pairing of him and Slavin. I mean, that could be an absolute nasty pairing to play against. You know, was that a lot of the thought process in the acquisition of Brent Burns, who's older, but still got a few wheels on him?
Yeah, I mean, they've said that's certainly where it starts. It starts with Slavin and Burns together. I think the big thing, and you mentioned his age, and I think that's the thing that jumped out to people was, whoa, how did we go from not wanting to pay Dougie Hamilton because he's going to be older at the end of the deal to now we're acquiring 37-year-old who's got 3 years left? Well, first of all, there's a difference between paying a 28-year-old who you're not sure if he's going to still be a player at 33 or 32 and then paying a 37-year-old who's shown he can play 28, 29 minutes as recently as last season. And then you look at the other factor of it is they don't kill their defensemen out there with, you know, one pairing or one guy playing a huge amount of minutes. Jacob Slavin doesn't play, you know, 27 minutes a night. You know, he'll settle in at 22, 21, something like that. And I imagine that's where Brent Burns will settle in too. He's not going to have to be the workhorse anymore. So to me, that's a huge deal for a guy that, you know, the first thing that jumps off anyone's mind that's a negative is, oh, his age. Can he keep up? Can he, is he going to wear down, et cetera, et cetera? Well, if you go from playing 29 to playing 21 minutes, he's probably going to feel like a 25-year-old again.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what about the guy who, you know, was signed and kind of forgotten a bit last year with some challenges he ran into? Jake Gardner. Where's his status at?
So he's been cleared. So now the situation is you know, he comes to camp and is he able to play again? You know, he missed all of last season and a good chunk of the season before with those hip and back problems and never proved to be really healthy since they signed him a few years ago. So now you got to figure out how that fits in. He's making $4 million. It's a lot of money. You know, if he can play, that's wonderful. There's your, you know, they don't have a left-handed guy for the third pair right now, unless you consider Max Lajoie a guy who could fit there. And we already talked about all the righties they got down there. If he can play and play on the third pair, then I guess they'll see what happens. I doubt they want to pay $4 million for a guy who's going to play, you know, 12 minutes a night or whatever. But You got to see where it's at. And then, you know, that's the kind of guy you use potentially, either a team that needs to get to the cap floor, or you got to pay to, you know, somebody to take him out of their hands. But one silver lining of the Pacioretty injury is maybe the cap situation works out a little bit better now for them regarding Jake and the amount of money he makes. And then you just got to decide what you want to do. And if you think he can bounce back at his age and with his injury issues to be a player again.
Svechnikov is still a relatively young player, signed for a long time. 30 goals last year. Do you think his ceiling is 40, or do you think he can flirt with 50?
You know, that's a really good question. I think the thing that gets lost a little on Svechnikov maybe is what a good passer he is, and that even if he's not, you know, even if I were to say to you his ceiling's 40 goals, I don't think that means he's a 70-point guy, because he's a really dynamic passer. I haven't seen too many guys who pass the puck as hard as he does, and sometimes it takes guys on the other end to finish those plays. But you know, I think he can be a 40 goal guy for sure. And there's still some inconsistency in his game, and I don't think it has anything to do with work ethic. The kid busts his tail all the time. You know, there's no concerns about how hard the kid works, and he's really just a fantastic kid too. I mean, you couldn't ask for a nicer guy. Back when you know, when the Hurricanes had Frederick Anderson go down, and all of a sudden Pyotr Kuchkov comes up from the AHL to back up and then end up playing a little bit when Antti Raanta got hurt early in the postseason, Pyotr spoke little to no English, and Andre agreed to be our translator for us for the few media people who were in Boston. And I mean, that's amazing when you consider where he was, you know, 4 years ago. He was the kid who, you know, he had been in the States for a while in North America, you know, playing in the, you know, playing in junior and in Barrie, and also playing in the USHL the year before that, but still spoke very, very little English. And now all of a sudden he's our translator for the new kid, who's actually older than him. The new kid, who doesn't speak any English at all, from Russia. So, character-wise, I don't think they don't have any concerns about how much effort he's going to put in. It's just, can he put it all together? You know, he's a beast out there. I know that a lot of people look at what happened to him with that fight with Alexander Ovechkin and think, you know, Ovechkin took care of him, no problem in that fight. But he's a man out there. He's a big, big kid, hits the weights, works hard on his game all the time. So even if he's not a 50-goal scorer, there's a lot of ways he can impact the game, whether it's physically or, I mean, Hampus Lindholm learned that in the Boston series. So just an immense talent.
Last one for you. Rod the Bod Brind'Amour has been there now for a couple of years. What do you think he needs to do for his team to take another step deeper into the playoffs?
I was just talking to somebody about this the other day, and, you know, I wonder if the Hurricanes are at a stage now, and obviously Tampa has proven they're a Stanley Cup winning team, but you've seen what Tampa's done the last couple seasons with the regular season maybe not being as important as when you get to the postseason. And I wonder, you know, Rod is so driven on everything needs to be 120% effort all the time, all regular season, praises his guys for doing what he asks. You know, he praises the guys over and over again for, you know, there's no other team in the league that he says that works as hard as his team does. You kind of wonder, now that we're back to 82 games, you know, for the second straight season, hopefully, as long as monkeypox doesn't get us all anyway, you know, you wonder if they need to take the foot off the throttle a little bit in the regular season. You know, maybe the patch, like I said, maybe the Pacioretty thing isn't the worst thing in the world. You'll have a guy who doesn't have 40 or 50 games of wear and tear on him come February and March when he's able to come back. So I wonder if they will take a longer view on that a little bit. You know, they do it with the goalies. They've done, you know, they've pretty much platooned guys his whole coaching tenure here. And I wonder if maybe there'll be a little bit more of that. I don't think they'll sit guys out, but maybe there'll be a little bit more of that among the skaters on the team, and not trying to, to, you know, really, really work guys so much that by the time you get to the postseason, everybody's dinged up and, you know, and there's really not another level to get to, you know, like everyone talks about how you get to the NHL playoffs and there's another level. And, you know, when you're given everything you got all the time in the regular season, there's not another level there.
Yeah, I love the way you break that down because I think you're 100% right. It's a great angle to take. So we'll see if Rod the Bod makes that adjustment. Corey, I really appreciate taking some time out of your Friday this summer, but we'll catch up to you as we get closer or maybe into training camp in just over a month.
Anytime. Hey, maybe we'll meet up at the food court in Hartford one day.
I'll buy you a blizzard.
Sounds good.
Thanks, buddy.